What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's Saturday night, but you know what? That Saturday night is about to start looking up because Jillian's back again.
Hooray! Not back again. I'm just back. You make it sound like I'm going to go away again. That's not the plan.
I hope not.
I know.
I hope you're back for good. Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So here's the deal. Every time Josh and I log on to record, we talk about the show setup. And if you listen to our 100th episode, we gave you some behind the scenes. So we were trying to come up with what we wanted to do for Dumbest Thing. Prior to logging on and getting with Josh, I was, you know, checking Facebook and I came across the meme of the police officer with the Fox News microphone and at the little ticker tape at the bottom. Man says cost of crack is too high, turns in his dealer. I'm thinking, and this is not going to be before you think so, this is not going to be anything having to do with Fox News credibility, but usually when they make memes, they make it Fox News because that's just kind of known for saying...
Kind of an easy target at this point.
Right. So I told Josh about it. I'm like, dude, I know we're talking about Dumbest Thing, but I just saw the most hilarious possible story ever. And Josh says, is it true? I was like, I don't know. And so we're sitting here for like 5 or 10 minutes searching online to see if the story is actually true because we wanted it to be true so much because I don't know, maybe it's one of those you had to be there things, but I just think that would be hilarious if that actually happened because people do dumb things and I could see that maybe somebody would do that and be like, hi.
Not just people, crackheads, Jillian. Because
right.
There were stories in the late 90s of people that were sold fake crack rocks that turned it into the police, and they wanted their drug dealer arrested not for being a drug dealer, but for selling them false crack.
I could see somebody doing that with maybe like a hitman or something, too.
He didn't kill my wife. God damn it, I want him arrested. I want my money back.
He wants like $3,000 more, and I already paid him before he did it, and now he's all like, oh, God. If it wasn't for stupid people, though, we wouldn't have a show.
If it wasn't for stupid people, we wouldn't have a segment called That's the Dumbest Thing I've Ever Heard.
Yeah, that's why I came up with it. I'm like, some of this stuff is so ridiculous. Honestly, though, we almost have too much fodder at times, so people can dumb down the dumbness to an extent.
All right, let's just move on to the first, and I hesitate to call it a real topic because, yeah, that'll actually come up. There is a new movement called... Synthetic love. About people that want real dolls and relationships with people with inanimate objects and or computer programs to be considered real. That they are advocates for synthetic love. The story I'm reading about is a guy. Okay, he's an advocate for synthetic love, but he can't even use his real name. He uses his online name of Dave Cat. He met his future wife, Sidor Kirinoko, at a goth club in 2000. No, in reality, he spent the $6,000 to buy her, but he's making up a history for the real doll that he plans to marry. He's
so
actually
it's like
advocating...
a robot or like a just a giant Barbie type thing?
A real doll is basically... They were made as ultra-realistic sex dolls. That was
okay,
their
so
point.
So it's not actually like a robot type?
No, it's not animatronic. It doesn't move on its own.
A Chobits, if you will. Call back.
It looks like arguably a waxy real person. They are completely anatomically correct, including fake tongues, clitorises, everything like that.
Really? And where would one purchase one of these dolls, pray tell?
Are you surprised? Japan!
Batteries are expensive! Well, yeah, and it was, what, Comico or whatever?
Dave Cat takes her out to restaurants. He takes her to movies. He treats her just like a real person. And Josh Hadley, I'm thinking, this is a fucking crazy person!
Well, and not only that, but movies are expensive, and you're paying... $10+ for a ticket for your
Barbie
doll.
I'd like to be the ticket taker at that, and you gotta wonder, do you charge the real doll for a ticket, or does she get in for free?
If it's packed seats, I don't know, because kids can take, like, stuffed animals in, you know? But I would assume since it has to sit in an actual seat, unless they do, you know, lap party and pull a Mr. Popper's Penguins.
He basically is bitching because he can't because he can't legally marry.
You know what? I think the priorities in this country need to be on equality and letting people of the same sex be fucking legally married before we start worrying about Barbie dolls.
But this is what I don't understand. Like, Jillian, back in the late 90s or early 2000s, 2000 AD, that's the company that publishes Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd is a satirical comic book that takes the things that they see today and jumps them into the future. And almost always, they take it to such a ridiculous extreme that they, the writers themselves admit, they could never believe things could get to this point.
Judge Dredd, like, I am the law!
Yes. Well, like I said, it's a lot more satirical than the movie would let you believe it is.
Sorry.
Not Stallone.
I'm an ornery little motherfucker tonight. I apologize.
Well, in one of the Judge Dredd stories, there were advocates for robosexuality, where people would be able to legally have sex and marry robots. And there was this whole, like, it was like an allegory to gay marriage, even before gay marriage was a real hot...
I want my Lucy Lubot.
When I first saw this story, I went, oh, Christ, Judge Dredd was right again. Damn it!
Hello! Welcome to the Hall of Justice! We are gathered here to show Mega City 1 that we are here, and we are proud to be here. We are here to demand recognition, because for too long, our love has been a love that dare not output its identification signature. We are here because we're robosexuals!
Robosexuals, also known as pluggers, hoover bandits, and socket jockeys. Robosexuals are people who get their hots from bots, not from androids, I hasten to add, that's almost normal, but from robots that look like real robots. Squat metal boxes with antennae and knobs. Here are people who get turned on at the flick of a switch. People who, in a word, have sex with robots. And they're robots who have sex with them.
For too long, we have endured years of socket jockey and hoover bandit. But yes, we are pluggers. We reclaimed that term.
On stage is Pert Mitchell, the leading robosexual rights campaigner. You'll remember the scandal last year when he outed the bishop who had an affair with his spin dryer.
Out with robo-erotophobia! We are not hover muzzles! We are not trouser-pressed enthusiasts! We do not use nozzles for gratification except as part of a loving relationship. We demand an end to robosexual stereotypes in sitcoms!
I just don't understand. Okay, maybe you're uncomfortable around real women. You do have to realize at some point in your head, she's not real. And see, I just did it. I said she. It.
Ha.
It.
Well, it is a female thing. Yeah. See, one of us. Google gobble, Google gobble. I'm not going to judge somebody for having a sex doll. I mean, you got to get off whatever gets your bubbles floating. But when you start taking your battery-operated boyfriend or girlfriend out to dinner and a movie, and dear God, hopefully you clean wherever you're doing whatever it is you do off that thing if you're taking it into public places. My point is, you know, they have the baby dolls or had that, you know, you would give them the bottle and they would pee and then they would poo and blah, 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 and you would teach her. So I wonder if it's like, okay, this is a real person if you do something and then they're on their period. And you have to, like, change their message. If you get in a fight, you can blame it on the doll's menstrual cycle.
Have you ever seen the movie Cherry 2000?
No.
Starring David Andrews, Melanie Griffith, and Tim Thomerson?
No, but cherries are delicious.
Cherry 2000 was kind of another allegory to this kind of thing. But again, in science fiction, and it was done as satire.
Wait, no, I'm going to stop you right there. It's not even really science fiction. I remember growing up with talk shows before, you know, they were all just, you are the father, you are not the father, and they'd have a lot more of the unruly teens.
I remember that era,
Jay. Whatever, I do what I want. But no, they would have, and I think it was Jenny Jones before she got cut off the air, because she was one of the worst. When you see these satires on TV that are just, you know, these horrible talk show people just treating, you know, their guests as, yeah, anyway. So I do remember episodes where people were in love with inanimate objects. And I do believe that on more recent shows, what is it, Obsessed or something like that, it still exists. So this isn't the first of its kind to come out. Like, yes, with this really realistic
Boston Legal even had a character, even though that's a fictional show, that had an attraction to inanimate objects.
Again, you're going off because you're saying it was just, you know, well, that's fictional, this is real. This has been going on longer than this story. Now, granted, you know, to be fair, you get to take your chick out to dinner and a movie, take her home and have some sexy time, and she ain't yapping. It's like kind of a dream come true for a guy.
It's called object sexuality.
No. Okay, to be serious, though. Yeah, I mean, you had people that wanted, and not even objects, but I remember one lady was in love with her dog. And I think one was like a potted plant, which was one of the most bizarre, and not Audrey.
Ooh, dirty.
I see what you did there. So, I mean, this has been out there, and apparently, you know, because this individual is coming out and talking about wanting to make marriage to an inanimate object equal. It's like, you know what, though? It doesn't even bother me, because there's a lot of people out there with crazy notions, and it's like, you know, it's, you can't, like, I love Mountain Dew, but I'm not going to marry a can of Mountain Dew, you know?
Well, but see, Jillian, I think there's a deeper issue here. The deeper issue, for one thing, these people call themselves technosexuals, which I'll admit is a term before today I was not familiar with. But
that's catchy, though. Grats to them for naming it that.
Technosexual?
Yeah.
When these people personify objects, they lose their objectivity and they fail to notice how far they're falling off the social scale. And I don't mean social in the way that, you know, interacting with other people. I mean social in being a person. Here's a quote from Dave Catt. There was never a moment when Shai-Chan, that's what he calls Sidor, that's his nickname for her. There was never a moment when Shai-Chan, or any doll for that matter, was merely an object to me. That to me says, you are screwed up. That it's okay to like things, it's okay to enjoy things, but when you start seeing your Barbie doll as more than that, when Barbie is an actual companion where that you have conversations with, there's something wrong. I don't think this is something to be overlooked as, oh, that's just a weird guy. I think this guy needs help.
You know what, though? No, it's harmless, though. You know, when you're saying, right, but, you know, there's a lot of people with weird ass quirks or issues or that are crazy. I mean, this guy isn't going to go. I mean, I guess if he's that psychotic where it's like, oh, make my marriage legal, or he goes postal on someplace. But saying, you know, oh, this guy needs help. Like, yeah, he's crazy. Is it something to get completely pissed off about on what the notion is now? No, to me, it's kind of funny and weird. And I mean, that's why we watch a lot of the things that we do. He's not posing a danger. Is it normal? No. Do I find it hilarious? And should I? Yes and no, I guess. You know, I mean, it's kind of the same things. We've talked about this briefly before when it is seeded into other subjects. The My Little Pony bronies, you know, and I'm a brony. Fuck the term Pegasus. I think that's a stupid term, and it is known that girls can go by brony, so it's kind of like the tomboy version of a Pegasister. If you're a girl, you're a brony. The majority of bronies are not weird. We love the show, we think they're adorable, you know, we've got action figures, things like that. But the more synonymous portion of the fan base that is actually known and why people think it's so weird is because you have these bronies that are sickly obsessed with the show to the point of like this guy, where it's so crazy. I mean, they will have stuffed animals of the figures that are fuck dolls, and they sell these things. This isn't just something like they buy a stuffed animal and they, you know, make a slit in it. There's a lot of fan fiction about, you know, personifying the ponies and just like sexual stuff and horrible things. You get that with any kind of, I don't want to say culture, any kind of fandom. You've got, you know, the quote unquote normal fans that are really, really obsessive, but on the positive scale where they just know a lot about it. They watch everything. They love it to death. And then you have the obsession on the borderline, what the hell is wrong with you? And that's kind of where this guy is. And this is why I don't have really an anger thing. And it's just kind of, yeah, it's a reaction of what the hell is wrong with you. He's not hurting anybody. It's really fucking weird. I mean, okay, if you saw this guy at a restaurant with his doll, would you seriously like get pissed off or would you bust out laughing?
I'd probably laugh at this point, but he is trying to advocate not just for wanting to marry his doll, I'll get into that in a sec, but the fact that
you can't have doll polygamy. What's wrong with this guy?
He is trying to advocate for why other people should get these dolls and pass on real women because you are in total control. What this comes down to is control. He can control. He gets to make up her backstory. He gets to make up her dialogue in their conversation. He decides what is done sexually, creepy or not. This is about control. This is the kind of character Joe Spinell played in Maniac, for fuck's sake. How he was scalping women and putting them on the mannequins, which he thought were talking to him. This is a serial killer who might not have actually killed someone yet.
He's not. You can't call him a serial killer.
Jillian, he even has gone so far, and yes, real synthetic polygamy. He bought a second real doll named Elena. And I'm quoting here. Sidor and Elena, they're both bisexual. They get to enjoy each other on multiple levels.
That's fine. I mean, that's obviously... Okay, there's something nuts here. I know I was really flippant and nonsensical earlier because it was just kind of... I get it. There's something not right. Calling him a serial killer just because you're relating it, you know, to Maniac, which is a fictional thing, that was more so skinning women and putting on mannequins. So you can't really compare.
Jeffrey Dahmer. No. Jeffrey Dahmer, that's what he wanted. If real dolls had been available, Jeffrey Dahmer would have probably used them. He wanted sex slaves. That's why he lobotomized.
Way too far. You can't call somebody a serial killer for being not right in the head and loving inanimate objects, okay? Yeah, if it's about a control thing or whatever, you know, people, he's making up a backstory. He's basically role-playing with this fucking device, you know? And it's like, whatever. If you want to take it out in public, I'm surprised establishments aren't like, yeah, no, we're not seating you. Again, I'm not defending this guy's actions as in saying, you know, let him be out and about making out with some doll in public. But, you know, I don't even think there's any laws against it. It's just, it's crazy, but, you know, do your thing. Just don't hurt anybody. But when you come out and make a statement that this guy's a serial killer, no, that is completely different. This guy is just like, hey, let me marry my sex dolls. I'm going to come up with backstories for them and blah, blah, blah. So basically it's one-on-one present D&D that he's playing with figures.
But he also gets in the faces of other people who call them sex dolls. He gets offended that other people don't see it the way he does. That, to me, this is, we're just waiting for the trigger for this guy to go off. This guy does not live in the same reality as the rest of us. You can like what you like, but you still have to live in fucking reality.
Again, yes, he's detached in places, but you can't go and say he's a serial killer, okay? And if he ends up going postal on somebody because he gets mad at what they say, that's, again, another not right reaction in the head. But when you're equating it to Maniac and saying he's a serial killer and all of this stuff about women... it's not necessarily true. Clearly there's something wrong with him. Clearly he has this image of like, sweet, with this doll I can do shit I can't do with other women. You know, like I said, as long as he's not hurting anybody, it's whatever. And you're talking about what ifs and everything, but you're trying to make a conclusive statement and say that he is a serial killer waiting to pop, and that's not necessarily true. Like we said, this whole loving inanimate objects things to an extreme is not something new. You know, it's stuff that people do. They don't talk about it so much as to the extent of this person, but it doesn't mean he's going to go and start killing women.
Well, you and I disagree on that. We got to wrap this segment up. I think this is just absolutely nuts, and I think it could go to a dangerous place if this catches on.
Anything could go to a dangerous place, though.
Theoretically, yes.
I just want to say, like I said, I know that I was being really flippant earlier. Yeah, it's really weird. And the only really defense I have is just, if you're not hurting anybody and you're not doing anything gross in public, whatever, do what you gotta do at home. If you want to, you know, I mean, there's people that play the sex video games and get really into that. And, you know, it does have problematic and potential dangerous possibilities, because if he's actually saying that it is coming off as a control thing, we're like, oh, you can do whatever you want and this and that, but it doesn't sound, it's borderline maybe rapist tendencies, but he's not doing anything violent. It's more so, this is what I need and this is what I get, and they let me do whatever. So yeah, it's a detachment from reality. I don't think it's definitely a ticking time bomb for him to go all, you know, crazy and start skinning women or anything. Will he have a more adverse reaction to skepticism when it comes to people maybe commenting in public? Probably. Dude's going to get pissed off because he gets made fun of a lot or whatever. And he feels this is so right that if it's not perceived well, he's probably going to pop somebody off. But does that make him a serial killer or potential killer? Not necessarily.
All right. We'll be back after Heart.
On this show.
What are you, fat fucking Albert's friend, you mushmouth?
I don't know, man. Hey, guys, this is Hart Fisher, and you're listening to A Heart Attack with Josh Hadley. We're sandwiched in the middle of a what-the-fuck moment, and I think this is the first show I've recorded where I'm pretty sick, where I've got a cold, and I think the audience can hear it.
Yeah, you're a little like...
Ugh. Yeah, my brain's not working so good. Like, recording the full hour-long Heart Attack, I lost my train of thought like twice, and Josh had to help guide me back to my rant.
Yeah, but to be fair with Heart, it's not really so much a train as more of a monorail to begin with.
Yeah, Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, dude. And on the hour-long Heart Attack, we're talking a lot about NSA spying, the effects it has on people, paid political activists that are being paid to go online and post as normal people and change the thread of public opinion. Because what I want to talk about a little bit is public perception. And Josh has talked about apathy and the apathy that he sees online and or apathy that he sees in the media. And I counter with, well, that is the propaganda that is being foisted upon us because the powers that be, well, they've completely taken over our mass media. CBS, NBC, you know, NBC is owned by General Electric. So they're only going to report on the news that's not going to hurt any of their business interests. When you have a giant corporation like GE, there's going to be a lot of business interests. And David Letterman used to make jokes about that all the time on his show. And, you know, ABC is owned by Disney. And I don't remember who owns CBS. But
Viacom.
So, you know, these are major giant corporations. And there's a lot of propaganda coming out. They're trying to trick you listeners. And they're trying to trick you guys into thinking that everybody doesn't care about being spied on. They do fucking care. They're afraid to talk about it. I'm a guy who's been fighting with the establishment for a long time, and I've won many, many times. Even this local issue we've had, we talked about it on the hour long, and I'm going to say, if you guys haven't heard the hour long Heart Attack, you really should, because I think Josh and I have finally found a good rhythm on that hour long show.
Oh, you mean where I get to talk about 2% of the time? That's a rhythm.
And yeah, you nailed me there. Yeah, guys, I definitely rant quite a bit, but we also bring on really cool guests. We brought on Mike White, the journalist who outed Leanne Spiderbaby, who is with Quentin Tarantino, and we totally spent an hour with Mike. We've been bringing on the Gray Panther, Lloyd the Ninja, who has done a really great job of fighting City Hall here in Los Angeles. I'm bringing in more guests. I'm going to be bringing in more people to talk about how you can build yourself up to be a bigger, stronger person, and that starts with the inside. And one of the things to that is knowing how to discount information that's coming at you. It's an information age and they're burying you in bullshit. Like when you watch TV, you're getting buried in bullshit. The news from Fox, as we know, Fox is not a news channel. It's a propaganda channel.
They sued for the right to not be a news channel.
That's right. They don't have the same ethics of journalism that you'd have on a real fucking news broadcast. It's all propaganda over at Fox. Look at how their tone of how they handled. They were not happy that we didn't go to war with Syria. I'm very happy that we found an alternative, and I knew there was an alternative to bombing Syria. We had no business being in fucking Syria, and the mass media tried to spin it that way. But guess what? We, the people, rose up again and kicked their ass and threw a monkey wrench into their fucking plans, and it didn't work out, did it? Whoa, we didn't get to bomb Syria, you poor cocksucking warhawks. You fucking assholes. And you know what really pissed me off, Josh, about that whole thing?
Fox only didn't want to go to... They didn't want to bomb Syria initially because Obama wanted it, and then they wanted it because they're fucking paid warmongers.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really bothered me was, how about the reporting? Why don't they report on our representatives like John McCain? McCain was caught playing video poker on his iPhone during the 3.5-hour Senate hearing about whether or not we should be bombing Syria. So instead of considering the cost on American lives, the cost on our country, and the fact that you're going to be killing motherfuckers, you're playing video poker?
Because he doesn't give a fuck.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And so as you are on Facebook, Facebook steers the news to you. They have in their programming, they are making it hard for counterculture people to share things. Like when I go to, let's say I post up an article from The Guardian about the latest NSA spying on my page. And then I go to share that article on my other pages. I've got several pages on Facebook. I go to share it and it says, oh, this attachment may not be seen by other users due to privacy settings. What the fuck is that? It's tricky censorship because when I go to the page and paste the link in and post that way, the slow way, I got no problem at all. So Facebook is part of this trick. You're being tricked. There are paid people who go on Twitter and talk shit. They're paid by private military organizations, private spy companies, private political activists. They spent like what? Almost $1 billion on the political process this last election, Josh?
I think that was just the advertising. That's not the process itself. That's just on advertising on radio and TV and the internet and that.
Yeah, like when I watch Sons of Anarchy, that's a joke. I don't know one percenter biker that runs around in Chuck Taylors. I don't know any outlaw biker that's not wearing motorcycle boots. They're not running around in Chuck fucking Taylors. The fucking whole thing is like some kind of biker fantasy. But when you watch it, this first episode starts with a retired federal marshal, a retired marshal. He's not even on the job anymore. He's using favors so he can get a prison inmate, repeatedly raped every morning. Why is this guy presented as, oh, his sister was killed, so it's okay? It's not okay.
No, it's not
okay.
No, it's not. And I mean, you bring up Sons of Anarchy. The one that I think is just pure science fiction is The Newsroom on HBO.
Oh, dude, I hate The Newsroom. It's utter shit. But I'm not going to get into that one because I don't think it's the same propaganda. I see.
It is, though. It is. I'm talking about
the police state. I'm not talking about the news process. The political propaganda that I wanted to focus on with this and not get scattered is the police state stuff and how it's okay for these officers and these people to break the law, break the rules, whenever it suits their personal reasons. But Joe Citizen breaks the law for his personal reasons to avenge his family. He's going to jail. And that's the issue here. We're seeing a lot of police abuses. Folks, if you want to know more about what's going on with local government, go check out liveleaks.com. You need to check up on this stuff and understand how you're being gamed. So, Josh, when you feel like, oh, everybody doesn't care, they do care, but you're being hidden from it. It's being hidden from you. They're not talking about it on the news because they don't want it. The news is working with the government and the people behind the government, the powers that be, all the Koch brothers and all those types of folks who are influencing our elections with unrepentant spending. And it's going on TV.
But see, here there's a little snag in your Live Leak thing there, Hart. Live Leak is one of those blocked sites, remember? Some ISPs won't let you get into Live Leak.
Guys, I'd like you to let me know about that. If any of our listeners are blocked from going to liveleaks.com, please tell us. Let us know. Tell us who your web service provider is. And let us know. Go online to Facebook, find Heart Attack Radio. That's where we are. Heart Attack Radio is where we are on Facebook. Or find What the Fuck online and post. Tell us. Let us know. Or find me on Twitter at Hart_Fisher. Find me there on Twitter. You know, let us know. Communicate with us and feed us information because that's what's happening too. You guys in the audience, you guys have been so fantastic. You've really fed us a lot of amazing information. We're getting great feedback from the readers. And you know what? You guys are getting off your asses and you're going out into the world and you are hearing the message and you are kicking butt. I'm hearing some really amazing stuff from the listeners. So keep up the kick-ass action. I'm Hart Fisher. This is Heart Attack. We'll be back next week with more pain.
Just here, I'm not wasting a moment. Just here, I'm not wasting a moment. Well, something's telling me where I should go. Well, there's an apple upon my shoulder, and I'm one trying to wiggle out. A trespasser faces me not. Well, I'm a seeker of truth. A non-existent reality sees me live my life. No limitations. There's a dark side to everyone. Even when the moon is blue, a rainy moment seems to pass. The only thing left is what I think of you. We'll be right back.
Jillian, you know I've been a big opponent of the DC's relaunch of the New 52. I've made no efforts to hide the fact that I think them rebooting the entire universe was a really insanely stupid idea.
Anybody that follows me on Twitter or Facebook knows my feelings of Crack Whore Harley, so I think we're both on that page.
Not just Crack Whore Harley, though, the metrosexualization of Lobo, the nonstop behind-the-scenes turmoil, DC has had more turnover in writers and artists in the last 2 years than they have in the 20 years prior to that. Editorial seems to have no idea what it's doing anymore, headed by Dan Diodato. But here's the thing. Their newest controversy is about Batwoman. Batwoman is an openly gay character who is in a relationship with her girlfriend. DC has been praised with how they've handled her homosexuality. They've been praised about how her lesbianism is just part of the story. It's not the focus of her book. DC has been winning awards from GLAAD and things like that because they're handling this in a very realistic fashion where instead of, say, Green Lantern coming home to his wife, Superman coming home to Lois Lane, Batwoman comes home to her girlfriend. Now, here is the thing. DC seems to want... They like the accolades they're getting for having this gay character, having this gay mainstream character. Problem is, they don't seem to want to actually let her do anything gay. DC has actually put their foot down to the point where both writers have left the Batwoman book because they are, quote, prohibited from ever showing Kate and Maggie actually get married. They're allowed to have them kiss. They're allowed to have them have dinner together, go to a movie together. But for whatever reason, DC is drawing this line in the sand. We will not have a gay character married in our universe.
It's because I can tell you probably why. It's because it's so controversial. They want the pat on the back for like, hey, see, you know, we've got gay couples together, but they don't want to take it that step as in making, because then they're saying a statement of with gay marriage. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, we've got gay characters, but if they let them get married, then in that action, whether intentional or not, it's basically making a statement for them saying that they're in support of gay marriage, which I'm sure they don't want to do when it's so controversial. Does that sound viable?
It does. That's part of my problem. If you're going to go with this gay character thing, you have to go all the way. You have to be able to say, you know what? These gay characters might want to get married. You can't ignore this. You can't. And then this is coming on the heels of some other controversies with DC, such as earlier this year, renowned homophobe Orson Scott Card was fired off of Superman because no artist was willing to work with him because of his rampant homophobia, which he still does not back off of. So at least he's honest with what he feels. But so they had that issue, and DC was backing Card. So right there, you started to see things slide a little bit. And then now with this Batwoman thing, it seems like they're going the other direction. It seems like they're kind of saying, this gay Batwoman thing is not working out. We need to find a way to get rid of it. We need to find a way to quash it. And even with the outcry against them saying, Kate and Maggie will not be married, ever, they are not backing down. They're saying, no, we put our foot down. That is the editorial decision we're sticking with. Deal with it, fans.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not that into the Batwoman stuff. How established of a character is her girlfriend Maggie? Like, has she been in it for a long time, or is it semi-recently?
She would be kind of the equivalent of Lois Lane to Clark Kent.
She's been in there for a while.
Yeah, she's Batwoman's only a character that's 4 years old, 3 years old. The character is relatively new.
Okay, but it's pretty stagnant with it. It's her one woman.
Yes, that is a part of her comic. The same as you can't separate Lois Lane from Clark Kent, Kate and Maggie are a couple.
Yeah, because I was kind of wondering that, because the only way I could see them getting out of it or maybe taking that stance would be if it was a situation of like, well, don't have them get married because we don't want to pigeonhole it because we don't know. You know, like if that wasn't the main girl, because characters will date. I mean, you know, even in the movies, Batman had like a different girl each time. You know, he didn't have his one.
Yeah, Vicki Vale was only in what, the first film?
Yeah, she was in the first. She's mentioned in the second. And then Catwoman disappears, never to return again. And then you've got Nicole Kidman as the stupid sex pot doctor that doesn't make any sense from a doctor point of view. But yeah, so if it was a situation where it wasn't Spider-Man and Mary Jane and, you know, I almost said Batman again. Jesus, my brain.
Well, Spider-Man's not with Mary Jane anymore because of that idiotic One More Day thing that is one of the most derided comic stories in all of comic history. See, what happened, Jillian, I'm going to totally nerd out on you for a sec.
Okay.
What happened was Aunt May got killed, and so Spider-Man made a deal with the devil to have his marriage and love for Mary Jane completely erased from history to have Aunt May come back. And that
so he loves Aunt May more than Uncle Ben? That's so wrong.
One of the most hated comic stories ever. Because when that came down, it was Marvel editorial saying, Spider-Man, we want him to be like a freewheeling woman's man.
Don't have her break up with him. You don't have a hero.
They literally erased her, Jillian.
No, that's fine. But you can do that without having your hero make... This is like another topic. We need just two comics. No, you can have your hero break up with someone or have her break up with him or what have you without having them make a deal with the devil. Like, that is so... You can have a couple break up. You know, you can have the girlfriend or boyfriend, depending the gender of the, you know, hero in question. You can have them be fed up with the situation if they know they're the superhero, or even if they don't, be like, I don't want to see you anymore. Have them be an asshole, like, I'm leaving you for so-and-so. And boom, they move. You never have to see them again because they say they never want to see and they just go out of the picture. You don't have your hero make a deal with Satan for any purpose whatsoever. You're basically... That's horrible. It's like, you're a hero. You don't know.
So you see why comic fans hated that storyline so much?
Yes.
And then, if this isn't bad enough for DC, if the Batwoman thing, Orson Scott Card thing, wasn't bad enough for DC...
They're tainting my Harley Quinn, you guys.
Well, I think they'd already tainted her by, as you, how did you word it?
Crack whore Harley.
Yeah, the Harley Quinn of the New 52, not the same Harley Quinn that was on the Batman animated series or in the old DCU, was it?
And that was, oh God, no, I think I've talked about it on the show as well. And honestly, I could make a whole segment about what they did to Harley. I know we're running short on time, so basically, I'm sure you guys, if you have a Facebook account, have seen this going around. What's kind of interesting is the different perspective of how they label this article. The short of it is DC Comics is having a contest where you draw Harley Quinn in four different panels, and it's situational suicide. You've got websites like Jezebel that labels it DC Comics contest, draw a naked woman committing suicide. Then you've got other ones that sound a little more apt to what it is and mention, you know, Harley Quinn. There's a lot of controversy with this and back and forth. And honestly, I'm even divided as well. And it's kind of unclear because, well, first of all, the first wrong thing is this is happening. You're running a contest right beside National Suicide Prevention Week to draw one of the most iconic, you know, female characters. I said one of, not the, so don't nerd out on me. Committing suicide in different panels. And the thing is, a lot of the articles show the picture of Harley Quinn from, you know, the old school and the animated series with the gesture outfit and everything. But the winner of this contest gets to actually, you know, be an artist and contribute to a new comic. So one would think that they're talking about, you know, drawing the revamp version. The articles that I have found, and there's a lot of different kind of revamping, retakings, they're basically talking about the situation and not necessarily the whole contest rules. They're just summing it up. I don't know. Basically, the naked part comes into the last panel where they're supposed to draw her naked in a bathtub with a bunch of appliances around her, just kind of like a look on her face like, oh, this is it. I give up. The whole thing with Harley Quinn is she takes a lot of punishment. She kind of doesn't die. She was the Joker's punching bag forever and a half. And, you know, that's kind of the shtick. So if you're looking at cartoon Harley, and even when I say cartoon, you know, even in the comics, just the very jubilant Harley that I love, you could do certain things with certain expressions in kind of a Tom and Jerry way.
I was going to say like a Looney Tunes-ish style, but yeah.
Exactly. But you don't do it coinciding with Suicide Prevention Week. I would assume, again, that they are meaning the new Harley Quinn, since they're bringing on the artist to guest on the comic. And then that gives it a completely different feel, because you have this overly sexualized, more gothy character, and you know, she doesn't smile a whole lot. And I mean, if you guys can visualize, if you know what old Harley looks like and then the new Harley, I think you can kind of grasp what I'm saying on, you know, the kind of jubilant, cartoony, violent Looney Tunes versus very disturbing, sexualized type thing. A lot of the people are going off saying like, oh, it's, you know, they're trying to suicide sexy and this and that. And I mean, I've seen artworks where they do that. They do a very like hot, and it's this weird mesh of just disturbing, bloody, and sexual. The other panels are not as graphic. So this is kind of where it's like, where are they going with this? Because you've got that last panel with the bathtub that's very ugh. And then you've got other things where she's attempting to get struck by lightning. She's wearing a bikini made of chicken in hopes that alligators will devour her, you know, and then in the other one, she's attempting to get swallowed by a whale. So the rest of these are very cartoonishly
non-conventional
ways. Well, yeah, they're non-conventional versus the last one that is something that happens. The expression in the context changes everything. My issue as well is, why is there the prerequisite to make her naked? Easily still have her in her suit, because it's just, you know, whatever, I'm doing this, or her clothes. Even if she was like covered in bubbles, what have you. But they make it a point to say naked, unless all of the articles are just adding that in and assuming that, you know, well, she's in the bathtub, so they want her to be naked. Because, you know,
see, I think what this comes down to, and Jillian, you got to realize you've been talking for almost 5 minutes straight.
I'm sorry.
So
but
I get to interject something, you know.
You do. I'm sorry. I had to get it out there. You had your nader age thing. Harley's my girl. You're hurting my girl, Joshy.
I think this comes down to probably bad taste and nothing more. I think even with what I said about DC, about the Batwoman thing and the Orson Scott Card thing, I think the editors at DC honestly wanted to participate in Suicide Prevention Week, and they saw a promotional opportunity with that. I don't think it was anything more than that. I think bad taste and probably unclear decisions is what got us to this point. They didn't think this whole thing through. Because like you said, most of us don't know crack whore Harley Quinn, like of the new 52. If you say Harley Quinn, even to a passing fanboy or fangirl, they're going to think of the Batman the Animated Series version, the Looney Tunes-ish version that you were referring to.
But here was my thing. I was like, maybe they didn't know, because not everybody is always thinking of dates. You know, you don't have a calendar up in your workroom with all of these. Because, I mean, they do. They've got so many, hey, it's this week and it's this day. From a corporate point of view, I could see that maybe like 1%, it's some weird coincidence that it's, you know, airing all during this time. Regardless, and taking the whole suicide prevention week out of it, like if that wasn't even there, the subject matter alone, obviously there's things in cartoons, there's scenes in comics, you know, reading it as a what they're doing this contest and they want you to draw what, it's like the stuff is already out there. It's not like they're saying make fun of a celebrity that committed suicide or do this. And the first three portions of the contest are very nonsensical ways, and so that's also kind of confusing, because it's like I don't know if I could see how Crack Whore Harley would do that. It kind of, the first three panels mesh with the old Harley, and then it seems like the bathtub one, they're looking for new Harley. And I mean, I could see all four being done in a comical way. Again, not that suicide is funny, but look at things like Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, things like that. You know, I mean, even in Batman the Animated Series, they had stuff like, oh, goodbye, cruel world. And, you know, but she's not dying. You're not seeing her dead.
Hell, it's how many times did Daffy Duck get shot in the face and he didn't die?
Yeah. People bitching about, you know, the girls' Avengers shirts because it says I need a hero and it has Iron Man and they don't have the ones with the girls. And we had that whole show segment. So I think a lot of this also is like, what? You're making fun of this? You're making light of this? This is a serious thing. It's like, well, yeah, it is. But Harley Quinn is fucking crazy, whether it's the fun, loving, adorable crazy or the crack whore crazy. She is, you know, and I mean, they are such nonsense ways aside from the bathtub, which is a realistic way. But you can take something that actually happens and turn it into a farce or a parody and make it so outrageous that it doesn't seem real. Like, if she's in a bathtub, again, taking out the naked things, I wouldn't even draw her naked, if anything, bubble bikini, whatever. And, you know, it says appliances. So instead of just the classic toaster or whatever, it's like, draw crazy appliances, you know, all around her, stuff sitting there. Because the point is, the bitch doesn't die. You throw everything at her, she won't die. She just takes a licking and keeps on taking. I think people are upset about this on different levels, which we've, you know, kind of, well, mostly me, sorry, I kind of took over this one. You know, you've got the levels of the fact that it is coinciding with National Suicide Prevention Week. The fact that one of the stipulations in one of the panels is for her to be naked. And I think it also goes along with the fact that a lot of people, not just myself, are and were pissed off when she got revamped and basically is wearing, you know, a handkerchief in some places as a shirt. And underwear. And I was like, when that came out, I thought of 15 different ways they could have revamped her costume without doing that. And so it's just kind of the straw that's breaking in the camel's back with all of these changes and all of this controversy going on. It's like, what? Now you want this? And so, yeah, I kind of see both sides. Again, it's unclear between the articles they're saying of what exactly, other than the ideas of the panels, since they put in the word naked in a bathtub and that it is a contest to, you know, have a guest spot to draw in a new comic, that they are going with the new Harley Quinn revamped. I don't know, like, bad taste on the timing, and also depending how nonsensical they're looking for. It's like, when you handle something like that, you need to go for it and go really over the top to where it's completely unrealistic, that you can't look at it and be like, oh, wow, that's really uncomfortable. You know, like, you have to make it a cartoony unless it is your point to be shocking. As always, I'm on Facebook under my name, Twitter at The Mistress J. You can find me on thecinemasnob.com as well as occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I'm also to be found at geekjuicemedia.com.
They don't want to find you.
Oh.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.